أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأذريته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الباح وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحدها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام العسكري عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يشغلك رزق مضمون عن عمل مفروض. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Tonight we are commemorating the shahadat of the father of the Imam of our time. And we are here to pay our condolences and ta'ziyat to the Imam of our time on the shahadat of his father. And tonight is one of the best opportunities for a mu'min to reflect why all this had been happening to our imams. But before we get to the point, a very short profile of the imam, our 11th imam. His kunyat is Abu Muhammad. In Arabic, there is a tradition, if when you want to call somebody out of respect, you don't call his name. Instead, you call him the father of so-and-so, mentioning the eldest son or the eldest daughter in most of the cases. This is what we call in Arabic, kunyat. So the father of so-and-so. So our 11th imam's kunyat, this is the way we pay respect instead of calling a person by his name. So we call the Imam, like we call the Holy Prophet as Abu Qasim. One of the reasons behind this kunyat of our beloved Prophet is because of the fact that he's the teacher of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam had said, Zakkani Rasulullah Zakkan Zakka. That word in Arabic we use for feeding the birds, just like the bird feeds its babies. So Prophet had taught Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he's the wasitatul fayl, he's the means of the divine blessing getting transferred through the Prophet to Imam Ali alayhi salam, his deputy. So Prophet's wasi and khalifa is Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Prophet is the muallim, is the teacher of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, because he's the spiritual teacher, and Imam Ali alayhi salam is Qasimun Nar wal Jannah. He's the one who is going to distribute the humanity and send them towards either the heaven or the hell. So, likewise, Amir Mumin alayhi salam's kunyat was Abul Hassan, the father of Hassan. We call Imam Hussein as Abu Abdullah, Ya Aba Abdullah. Isn't that right? That's the kunyat of our third Imam. Likewise, the kunyat of the 11th Imam is Abu Muhammad. So, and his alqab, his famous titles are Az-Zaki, the pure, and Al-Askari, and also Ibn Rida, the son of Rida. And this laqab and title of Imam Askari alayhi salam is shared by his father and also shared by his grandfather. That means Imam Taqi al-Jawad alayhi salam is also called Ibn Rida because he was directly the son of Imam Rida alayhi salam. And likewise his son Imam Taqi al-Jawad alayhi salam's son, Imam al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salam, is also called as Ibn al-Rida. So Ibn al-Rida is a shared title between Imam al-Taqi and Imam al-Naqi and Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. And the mother of Imam Askari alayhi salam, Hudais or Sulail, that's how her two different names have been narrated. And the hadith from Imam al-Naqi alayhi salam himself, talking about his wife, says that she is the one who has been taken out of every, of all sorts of, in other words, afat and ahat and najasat, every kind of calamity and trouble and uncleanliness. Now I'm paraphrasing these narrations, all these narrations in my own words. And the specific tasbih, Imams used to have tasbih. The tasbih of our 11th Imam, for those of you who want to write it down, was Subhana man huwa alin fi dunuwihi, Subhana man huwa danin fi uluwihi, and wafi ishraqihi munir wafi sultanihi qawi subhanallah wa bihamdihi. That was the specific tasbih that Imam Askari alayhi salam used to recite. Subhana man huwa alin fi dunuwihi wa danin fi uluwihi wafi ishraqihi munir wafi sultanihi qawi subhanallah wa bihamdihi. That's the right way. And Muhaddis Qummi, one of our greatest historians and Muhaddisin, Shaykh al-Muhaddisin, Shaykh Abbas al-Qummi, rahmatullah alayh, has narrated that most of the life of Allamah Imam was spent in jail or under house arrest. Either he was in the jail, he was arrested, or he was under house arrest, under surveillance, under the strictest of the surveillances that you witness in the history against the Imams. Imam Askari alayhi salam has been going through the hardest of the times. Because, I'm calling it hardest, because the Khalifa, the Tahut ruler that he faced in his time, was Mutawakkil Abbasi, la'natullah alayh, for whom Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, Ashqal Akhireen, the most shaqi and stone-hearted person of all the later generations. So the ruler and Tahut of the time of our 11th Imam is the one who is called by Imam Ali alayhi salam to be the most stone-hearted person of all the later generations. So you can understand when such a zalim and cruel ruler and tyrant ruler, is ruling, and Imam alayhi salam had been facing all those zulm and oppressions from him, what situations he had been going through. This signifies the greatness of our Imam. See, whenever you are opposed by somebody who is a bigger enemy of Allah, this signifies your spiritual highness. If you happen to be opposed by lesser enemies of Allah, this shows your spirituality is of a lower level. And if you are opposed by the lowest enemies of Allah, in terms of their animosity, you must understand that your level of love towards Allah and your spiritual highness is also of the same low level. Because if you happen to belong to a higher spiritual level, it is bound to happen that the bigger enemies will end up opposing you. When Hazrat Musa ibn Aqil salamullah alayhi was brought in the darbar of the Tawud of his time, Ibn Ziyad la'natullahi alayhi, he first thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is about to be killed with the hands of the shaqi person of his time, in other words. The most sharp person, the most evil person of the time. And he used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for getting killed through the hands of the most evil person. So now that he discovered that now he is about to be slaughtered by Ibn Ziyad, he first thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that blessing. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ That's the way Allah behaves always. Whenever you have higher spirituality, you will find the biggest opposition from the biggest enemies of Allah. If you have a lower spirituality, don't expect to find opposition from the... Because the enemies are also not silly, isn't that right? They know whom to oppose and whom to kill and whom to jail. According to what my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amuri Hafizahullah, we were saying, if Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam spending 40 years in the prison, if Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam was not running a campaign for his government, for his walayat, why in the world would Harun Rashid bother to persecute somebody who's just sitting there in a corner, has no connection with whatever the government is doing? If you are careless, I don't care what takes place, what happens, you guys can kill 100,000 people, you can kill 1 million people, you can jail, you can torture, injure, maim as many people as you want. And that's okay, I don't care, I'm just sitting in a corner, doing subhanallah, 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 holding sibha, tasbih in my hand, nothing to do with the affairs of Islamic Ummah. If I'm that kind of person, who in the world would bother to bother me? Isn't it right? Nobody's gonna bother. I remember Imam Khomeini radhiyallahu anhu used to say, "Man azun akhundai nistam kinja bin shinao tasbih." I'm not one of the mullahs to sit in the corner and grab a tasbih and sit behind my hand and turn my blind eye to all what is going on. The innocent civilians being killed. We don't care about innocent civilians because we care about Imam Ali, who was adil. We have learned the entire concept of Islamic social justice system from Ahlul Bayt. Isn't that right? So we cannot turn our blind eye to all what's going on. If we believe in Imam Ali alayhi salam, we are not a statue, we are humans. You have to take sides, you cannot be neutral. There is no room for neutrality in the religion of Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the religion of Rasulullah, in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So Imam Askari alayhi salam had spent most of his life either in the prison or under house arrest. And Imam Naqi alayhi salam, his father, used to meet only with the Khawas Shia, only the close and high level of the Shia. High level of his supporters. Low level, the regular Shias, he didn't used to meet with them. And he used to meet only with the high level of the Shias. And Imam Askari salam, it has been narrated by Muhaddis Qummi in his book Muntaha al-Amal, that Imam Askari salam used to meet with his Shias, with his followers, from behind a curtain, not directly. And scholars have interpreted that this behavior of the Imam Naqi alayhi salam, our 10th Imam, and Imam Askari alayhi salam, our 11th Imam, was because of the fact that they were trying to prepare the masses, the Shias, for the time of ghaibat of their son, which is about to start. People and the Shias were being prepared by the Imams, because in the ghaibat time they will not have access to the living Imam, isn't that right? So even the earlier Imams have started to prepare the people for that times. Times were so harsh for the Imams, being sent from one prison to the other. One person to the other, zalim and oppressor, oppressing him. We find that Tahut ruler asked Saleh bin Wasif, this guy is in charge of the prison of Imam Askari alayhi salam. This is one of the best days to learn what happened to our Imams, you know, so that we can open up our eyes and none of the community members, generally speaking, none of us can give a hard time to the Imam of our time. Let's not allow the similar situations get repeated towards the masoom and infallible of our time. Isn't that right? Because we love Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Let's not allow the Ahlul Bayt to suffer from their followers. So this guy, Saleh ibn Wasif, is the head of the prison. And the ruler, the Tahut ruler, commanded him to be harsh against the Imam. And he said, well, I have already appointed to torture the people, torture Imam Askari salam. In order to torture him, I already appointed two of the worst people that I have in my team. And these two worst people assigned by me now got transformed and overhauled completely. They never used to pray in their life, and now they have started prayers because of what they saw in the prison towards the Imam. Because these people said, when we went into the prison to see, well, they were sent to torture the Imam, and we discovered that Imam alayhi salam is fasting throughout the day, every day, and standing up in the night doing the worships of Allah every single night. And he didn't sleep in the night. Throughout the night he's worshipping. So this behavior, when we happen to come in front of Imam Askari salam in the prison, see, Imam is in the jail, he's under arrest. And these guys are the ones who are free, so-called, and they are here to torture the Imam. And they say that when we come in front of the Imam, we started to shiver. As if we are out of our control, as if he is the one who has the charge of our affairs in his hand. So we could do nothing in his presence. This is what we call haybat in jalal and majesty of every Imam. Remember what Farazdaq has mentioned in his Qasida, the famous poem that he recited extempore in front of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, la'anatullah alayhim. And Farazdaq had mentioned in his shi'r that yughdi haya'an wa yughda min mahabatihi fama yukallimu illa hina yabtasimu yakadu yumsikuhu arfana rahatihi رُكْن الْحَطِيمِ إِذَا مَا جَاءَ يَسْتَلِمُ. Isn't that right? So he's describing in his shi'r that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has such a majesty that when nobody can dare speak in front of him until he smiles. So until he allows the person to speak, his majesty doesn't allow anybody to speak up. People get spellbound in front of his majesty. And when he came close to that pillar of Kaaba upon which the black stone is located, we have names assigned to each pillar of Kaaba, each corner of Kaaba, and that corner is called Ruknul Hatim, the pillar of Hatim. So when he came close to the pillar of Hatim to kiss the black stone, Farazdaq says in his poetry that this pillar was about to grab the Imam and not let him go away, because of the beautiful smell that the pillar smelt from the Imam. Well, every Imam has a smell that comes out of him. It says, يَكُونُ رَائِحَتُهُ أَطْيَبْ مِنْ رَائِحَةِ الْمِسْكِ. The hadith says the smell of the Imam is keener than the smell of musk. Remember in Hadith al-Qisa that we recite in the beginning of our gatherings, we read that when every ma'soom is arriving in the house of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, one by one, the first was Imam Hassan to show up. And Imam Hassan, after saying salam to his mom, the first thing he says to his mom, Inni ashummu ra'ihatan ka'annaha ra'ihatu jaddi Rasulullah. I smell the smell as if it is the smell of my grandfather Rasulullah. So he did not ask his mother that the Prophet, is the Prophet present here? Instead, Imam Hassan is saying to his great mother that I am smelling a smell as if it is similar to my grandfather's smell. So Imam Hassan feels the presence of Rasulullah with the smell that comes out of his soul. And the same statement exactly is repeated by Imam Hussein when he comes second and he says to his mom after salam, Inni ashummu ra'ihatan, exactly the same statement. Ka'annaha ra'ihatu jaddi Rasulullah. And the same is what Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Inni ashummu ra'ihatan ka'annaha ra'ihatu akhi wa ibn ammi. I feel the smell as if it's the smell of my brother and my cousin Rasulullah. So every masoom has a smell, and which can be smelled by those who are familiar. We find that Imam alayhi salam was put in the prison once by Mu'tamid Billah. Mu'tamid is the tyrant ruler who later on poisoned the Imam. So he is the murderer of the Imam. So Mu'tamid Billah rahmatullah alayh is the one who said to Ali ibn Hazin to set free the Imam. Once in those times, Imam was being set free, so Mu'tamid commanded his people to set him free from the jail. Now this guy, the guy came to set Imam free from the prison, and Imam said to him that till Ja'far comes. His brother Ja'far was also sent to prison along with him. So the ruler has sent the command to set free the Imam, but not his brother. And Imam alayhi salam, so this guy said, the hukum that came, the ruling that came from the ruler is only about you, not about your brother to be freed. So Imam said, go, return back say to him, say that we both came from one house, and if I return back, and he doesn't come with me, you know what's going to happen. So that's where this person went back to the ruler, Mu'tamid, informed him what Imam is saying, and finally he got the ordinance and the command for setting free the brother as well. So that's how Imam got freed. And also in another scenario we learn, look at the different situations of various prisons narrated. When you turn to the history of Imam Askar Islam, it's all about prisons. Like I said in the beginning, his major portion of his life is spent in prisons. Another story of the prison is that Hassan bin Sabih says, I was the fellow jailmate of Imam Askar Islam. I was happened to be in one of those prisons along with the Imam. So Imam alayhi salam said to me that you're going to survive for 65 years, and your age is 65 years and so many days. Do you have a son? And I replied back, no, I don't. And Imam prayed to Allah, oh my Lord, give him a son who becomes his helper. And then Imam recited a rhyme, a bit of poetry, which I'm not going to translate here. But من كان ذا ولد يدرك ظلامته إن الذليل الذي ليست له عضد. So and then this guy says, that I asked the Imam, Hassan bin Isa bin Sabih says, I asked the Imam, do you have a son? And Imam said, soon Allah is going to give me a son who is going to fill up the earth with adl and qist, with justice. But there's a difference between adl and qist. يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا وَقِسْتًا. A very famous hadith narrated in various books of Sunni brothers and Shias alike. In different variations, but the essence of the hadith is the same. يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. Imam alayhi salam is going to fill up the earth the way it will be full with injustice. The zulm, in Islam, the word, there are two words used in the hadith, adl and qist. And those two words are opposite to the other two words, which is zulm and jaw. So you see, zulm is considered, literally speaking, the meaning of zulm and oppression means if you take up the rights of other people and you usurp their rights, deprive them of their rights, and you take what they have and you are the one who are usurping it, you are using it for your own self. This is called zulm. So you are misplacing the thing where, you're putting the thing where it does not belong. Putting a thing where it does not belong. That's what zulm. وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ. And if qis, and in other words, the, jawr in Arabic is used in a place where you use up the huquq and rights of others. Instead of you usurping it, you give it to some other people who do not deserve to get. Isn't that right? That's the difference between zulm and jawr. And so the opposite to the zulm is qist, and the opposite to jawr is adl in Arabic. So those two words are used, against each other. So Imam alayhi salam is going to fill up the earth with adl and qist, so the rights of everybody will be protected. And it's not going to be taken up by anybody, and it's not going to be given to anybody else. So that's the Islamic social justice system that's going to be implemented on the whole world. So we find that some people say, when it comes to the social justice system, some people say, don't talk about the siyasat from the mimbar. Isn't that right? The politics should not be discussed from the member. Because there are people who still separate politics from the religion. Isn't that right? And we must understand that the religion of Ahlul Bayt is nothing but the divine politics. And the divine politics is nothing but the religion of Ahlul Bayt. Siyasatuna deenun wa deenuna siyasa. Siyasatema aini diyanatemas, wa diyanatema aini siyasatemas. This is a famous statement of Ayatullah al-Uzma Kashani, rahmatullah alayhi, which is now written on one of the bills of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Siyasatema aini diyanatemas, wa diyanatema aini siyasatemas. So, if anybody said, how far people have gotten from the walayat and imamat of Ahlul Bayt, when Prophet has announced the walayat of Imam Ali al-Ghadir, We say to the Sunni brothers, Prophet is not announcing their mahabbat and dosti and friendship. That's what the Sunni brothers say. The word mawla does not mean the hukumat. Imam Ali is not the khalifa, he is not the hakim, he is not going to be the ruler. Prophet did not appoint anybody. What Prophet was talking about, man kuntu mawlaho fahada li mawla, is that whosoever considered me as worthy of being loved and a friend should take Ali as his friend. That's what the Sunni brothers say. Isn't that right? Dosti. And we say to them, it's not about the friendship that Prophet had been gathering 120,000 companions in the burning sands of the desert. Prophet was talking about the hukumat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Mawla means hakim, khalifa. Isn't that right? Wali means hakim. And we say walayatul faqih, it means the hukumat of the faqih. Isn't that right? That's what we say to the Sunni brothers. Mawla means hukumat, hakim. Mawla means hakim. So, walayat of Imam Ali al-Islam was usurped in Saqifa. Nobody take away the deen from Imam Ali. Do you think the people gathered in Saqifa and took away the religion from Imam Ali al-Islam? Nobody can take away the religion and deen from Imam Ali al-Islam. Isn't that right? What they took away was the kursi. Was the khilafat, was the chair, the seat of power. Isn't that right? If you consider religion and politics to be separate, Then why are you condemning those people who usurp the rights of Imam Ali al-Salam? Because hukumat is never considered by you to be part of religion anyway. So if they took away hukumat, so why are you condemning that? Why are you condemning what they took away? They did not take away the religion from Imam Ali. They took away the hukumat. And you consider hukumat to be not part of Islam. Then why are you condemning them in Saqifah? Look at how far the people have gotten from the real concept of the Imamat of Walayat and Walayat of Ahlul Bayt. And the reason why the Walayat of Faqih is not being digested by some is exactly because of the fact that some people did not digest the implications of the Walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam in their everyday practical lives.
Salawat.
So see, Ayatullah Al-Uzma Sistani, please recite a loud salawat for his salamati and long life.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Up till this date, this great marji of ours did not agree to even talk to any zalim in his life. Did not even agree to even sit on the table with any zalim in his life. Look at the greatness of our maraji. Look at the greatness of their character. How great examples they have been setting for us. And look at some other people who are buttering up the zalimeen and taghuts for their dunya, for the love of their dunya. So we must respect our maraji. It is wajib to respect all of our maraji. But we don't respect those people who are deviating from the policy of maraji, you know, for the sake of their dunya. The actions of our maraji is a role model for us. Our maraji are role model for us. Ayatullah Uzma Khuy Rahmatullah Alayh, such a great marji of ours, he was oppressed by Saddam so much, isn't it right? Especially in the last days of his life, where he did not say a single word that can support the government of Saddam. And he was tortured so much, but still did not agree to say one word in the support of the Taghut. This is the greatness of our maraji. And of course the policy of Wali al-Faqih is already obvious. You don't need to be it's not a rocket science. You can just turn on Fox News and know what his policy is. So we find that Imam alayhi salam had been... So the people of our Imams have been subjected to these hardships because of the Taghut governments were ruling and they were not allowed to rule. Isn't that right? There are people did not quit praying and fasting. Do you think Imam Hussein was killed because people of Kufa stopped prayers and fastings and Hajj and Khums and Hijab? Is that the reason Imam Hussein was killed? People of Kufa stopped praying? They are praying. They even prayed behind Muslim Naqi. Isn't that right? Even on the day of Ashura, Umar ibn Sa'd lanatullah alayh was praying on that side, on the day of Ashura, leading the Jamaat on that side, and Imam Hussein is leading on the other side. And some of the Ashqiya, some of the evil enemies of Imam Hussein, said this statement that kill Hussein quicker, our Asr prayers is becoming qaza. So are we silly enough to still consider the hollow prayers without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt performed by some to be acceptable in the eyes of Allah? These kinds of prayers without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, which is the root and essence of entire religion, deserve to be wrapped up and thrown back at the faces of those people who are praying. Allah does not stand in need. So we find our Imams have been facing the hard time because of the very fact that so many of the followers have been separating religion from politics. They are ready to pray, and they're ready to fast, they're ready to do hijab, they're ready to go for hajj. When it comes to supporting the Imam and accepting him as their political leader, you find extremely precious few people who accepted the Imam to be their hakim and mawla and wali and ruler. If they were accepting, they would never give in to the taghut and be silent over the policies of the taghut. Which your silence serves the zalimeen, not the masumeen. Prophet had already said in his hadith, As-sakitu anil haq, shaitanun akhras. Person who stays silent over haq is a dumb shaitan. See, this shaitan that me and you talk about every now and then, this guy has a, he can speak, isn't it right? He's not dumb. He speaks and deceives. This is not a dumb shaitan. But this person who is not ready to say haq, he is also shaitan in the dictionary of the Holy Prophet, but he's a dumb shaitan. He cannot even speak. There are so many who are not ready to say haq, because they are afraid of the people. They are afraid of Allah, they are afraid of the people. Man khafa min Allah, akhafa Allah minhu kulla shay. Imam Amir al-Mumin al-Islam says, whoever fears Allah, Allah makes everything else be afraid of him. If you fear Allah, everything will be afraid of you. Man khafa min Allah, akhafa Allah minhu kulla shay. Wa man lam yakhaf min Allah, whoever doesn't, is not afraid from Allah, khafa min kulla shay, he is afraid of everything. So people who doesn't fear Allah, so it's your choice. You want to fear Allah or you want to be afraid of everything else? The choice is yours. If you are afraid of Allah, you have taqwa, you will find everything to be subservient towards you and musakhar in front of you and afraid from you. And if you happen to not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are going to pay the price. We will be afraid from everything, especially the people, the humans. Those people who don't have taqwa, they are afraid from the people of the community. As soon as they learn, oh, people are going to say this and this and this against me, they change their policy. They're not afraid of Allah. They did not change their policy for the sake of God. Now they're ready to change the policy in order to please the people, who will never be pleased with them, because anybody who tries to please everybody is a munafiq. You can never please everyone. Isn't that right? You can only please some people. Imam Ali could not please everybody. There are a whole bunch of people who used to call Imam Ali to be a kafir. Isn't that right? Khawarij. Khawarij fought a battle against Imam Ali, Battle of Nahrawan, and they used to call Imam Ali to be a kafir. Isn't that right? You cannot please everybody. Who cares about pleasing the people? We in Islam, we are proud that we care about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protecting our value system and not to compromise over the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Peace be upon you.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So we find that Imam Askari alayhi salam was sent by the ruler to the Zindan, the jail of Nehrir. This guy's wife, she said to him, don't torture this person that much. The wife is advising her husband not to torture the Imam that much. And he said, you know, in other words, I have made up my mind. I'm going to throw the Imam in front of the wild beasts, you know, lions and stuff. So different kinds of wild animals, hungry wild animals. So Imam Askari salam was thrown in the prison mercilessly in front of the wild beasts. And after he threw the Imam in front of them, he found that Imam al-Islam went inside the jail. When he was there, he was praying his prayers, and all those wild beasts gathered around him, made a circle, and are paying respect to the Imam.
Muhammad Ali Muhammad Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Yeah, the Shias have been protecting their lives. Imams getting slaughtered, one after the other. 11 of the Imams got slaughtered, mercilessly. Did they have any fault? They were not sinners, they were infallible, isn't that right? They are so much superior fadail and attributes. Then why in the world they got killed? Were they bad? No. People have been protecting their lives. People were slaves of dunya, how Imam Hussain alayhi salam says. Annaso abidu dunya. Log dunya ke ghulam hai. People are slaves of dunya. Waddeenu la'ikun ala al-sinatihum. And religion is a lip service. They are paying a lip service. I'm also religious. يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ مَا دَرَّتْ مَعَائِشُهُمْ. They are religious as long as their life is learning the pleasures of dunya, the life, their comfortable lifestyle is going on, moving on. In other words, فَإِذَا مُحِّسُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ. When they are subjected to bala, قَلَّتْ دَيَّانُونَ. That's where you find the real religious people are less. So when we face the bala in turmoils, that's where we discover who is the real mu'min, in the bala, in the turmoil, in the crisis. Otherwise, the lip service claim can be made, I can make a million claims about myself, I'm such a nice mu'min. Who cares about the claims of the people? What is more important is that Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam accept that we are their real Shias and real followers. That's the real thing. So people have been separating religion from politics and either supporting the taghuts or staying silent over the zulm of various taghuts. And imams have been sent to jail one after the other, poisoned and slaughtered. And 11 of the imams have been killed. Now the term came to the Khatamul Awsiya, the seal. The seal of all the deputies. And now the 12th Imam, Allah has changed the policy. Now meeting with Imams used to be a right. Anybody can go and meet with the Imam. Isn't it right? Any Tom, Dick and Harry can show up and meet with the Imam. A mu'min, a kafir, a munafir, anybody can go and see the imam. Isn't that right? When it comes to the 12th imam, Allah's policy is now different. Now meeting with the imam is no longer a right. It's a privilege. You have to earn the privilege. Inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to say certain things about our Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam. But it's now a privilege and you need to have the ma'rifat of the imam. The in-depth recognition to be able to be shown the imam. Otherwise, you don't even deserve to meet with him. Look at the policy of Allah. Enough is enough. 11 have been slaughtered. People have been saving their lives. Imam Qasim alayhi salam says in his hadith, "Inna Allah ghadaba ala Shia." Allah Shiyon pe ghazabnak hua. Allah got angry on the Shias. Khudawan bar Shia ghazabnak shud. Allah got in Allah ghadaba ala Shia. Allah got angry over the Shias. Fakhayyarani nafsi aw hum. Allah gave me two choices. Either you protect nafsi, either I protect my own life, my own self, or whom, or I protect them. Then Imam Qadim alayhi salam says, فَوَّقَيْتُهُمْ وَاللَّهِ بِنَفْسِي. I swear to Allah, Imam alayhi salam says, I protected him, he says, by sacrificing my life. He said it once. I swear to Allah, I protected them, that means the Shias, by sacrificing my life. So he sacrificed his life to protect the Shia community. Shia community is not ready to sacrifice their lives to protect the Imam. The Imams got sacrificed one after the other because the Shias are sleeping. How many Shias were supporting the walayat of Imam Ali announced in the occasion of Ghadi by the Holy Prophet in front of 120,000? How many stayed and stick to the walayat of Ghadi? Although the Prophet took bay'at and oath of allegiance from all of them without moving from that spot, the khaymah and tents were installed, and in the presence of Rasulullah, all those 120,000 did the bay'at and oath of allegiance right in front of the Prophet and towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. But look at how many stick to the walayat and oath of allegiance towards the governance of Imam Ali alayhi salam. 12. Among the men, among the people of Medina. 6 from Muhajireen, the migrants of Makkah, and 6 from Ansar, the helpers of Medina. All those 12 names of the men mentioned in the hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. There were 12 men only from the city of Medina who stick to the walayat of Ghadir and did not give in to the support of Saqifa or did not stay silent. 12 men only. That's the way the people are. People love this dunya. They don't want to give up their lifestyle. And then some of the people say, no, you know, Maulana, because we are living in the West, we know the situations better. How can that mujtahid who is sitting far away in Najaf or in Qum or wherever, how can he understand what we are going through? We are going sitting here. Isn't that right? And then I say to them, okay, does Rasulullah know about the situation in the West or not? You are a Muslim, isn't that right? You are a mu'min, you believe in Rasulullah, the seal of the messenger. Answer my question, does Rasulullah, Khatamul Mursaleen, seal of all messengers, having the ilm al-ghayb, absolute knowledge of the unseeable world. Mazhar and reflection of every single name and attribute of Allah without exception. Thus the Holy Prophet knows the, in his ilm al-ghayb, what is going to happen in the West tomorrow or not. Yes, Rasulullah knew about that. Or if you can say Rasulullah did not know, na'udhu billah, God forbid, this is a slander and tuhmat on Rasulullah, in addition to insulting him. And also, it's an objection. It will be an objection on the concept of khatmun nubuwa, khatmun nubuwat. Well, what you are trying to say is translating into the fact that Allah was never supposed to send our Holy Prophet as the seal of the messengers. He must send another prophet because the situation has changed and na'uzubillah, God forbid, our Prophet did not know what's going to happen in the West in those days. So it would have been wajib on Allah to send another messenger who knows what is going to happen in the West. Why did Allah make him the seal of the messengers then? So actually you are trying to object on the concept of khatm al-nubuwwat. Isn't it right? It goes back to Allah. This objection is not only the mujtahid sitting in Najaf or Qum or wherever. We respect all of them. They all have great personalities. It's actually returns back to Allah. Because mujtahid is not saying anything on his own. If he's saying something out of his own pocket and he did not learn it from Quran and the hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, he would be the biggest fasiq on the planet. If he's saying things on his own, making up and fabricating things on his own and issuing fatwa, he would be a fasiq person. But if he is telling what the Quran and Ahlul Bayt says because he understands best, there are now a whole bunch of people who self-declared open-minded people. Isn't it right? There's a lot in the community who never attended a single day to any Hawza learning system and now they claim to be scholars of Islam. So let's say to Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi and all of our great Maraji to please shut down the Hawza of Najaf and Qom because there's no need for you to keep the Hawza open where we can sit here and we can still be scholars of Islam without going to any Hawza or any other Hawza of Islam. Actions speak louder, isn't it right? Self-declared, open-minded scholars, never studied for a single day in any hawza, and now claiming to be scholars of Islam. So we find Imam Askari Islam was thrown into the prison. The animals came around him in a circle, paying respect to the Imam. He's not just the Imam of the humans only. Our Imam is the Imam of every creature. Imam al-Kul. See, Imam Khalil al-Farahidi, who is the Imam al-Nahf, the biggest scholar of Arabic grammar in the entire history. Imam Khalil al-Farahidi, writing the first dictionary of Arabic language, Kitab al-Ayn, in 9 volumes. Imam Khalil al-Farahidi, rahmatullahi alayhi, has said that ihtiyajul al-kull ilayhi fil kull Dalilun ala annahu imamul kull. That means every single thing standing in need in every single matter towards the imam is the dalil that he is the imam of every single thing. What a beautiful statement of Imam Khalil. Every single existence in the universe in every single matter stands in need of the imam. And so this is a dalil and evidence and concrete evidence that he is not just the imam of humans only, he is the imam of everything, imam of the birds and fishes and animals and lakes and sea and water and stones and angels and planets and you name it. Imam al-Kul, he is the commander-in-chief of the universe appointed by Allah for every existence. So Imam alayhi salam is the imam of the animals as well. Everything is created to be subservient towards the imam. So now we read in the dua of the Sa'ate Yazdahum, in the 11th hour of the day. For each hour of the day, there are du'as. You go to the du'a belonging to the 11th hour of the day. And that du'a belongs to Imam Askari alayhi salam. Du'a of the 11th hour of the day. In the du'a of the 11th hour of the day, we say, أو بالإمام وبالإمام الحسن بن علي عليه السلام الذي طرح للسبع فخلصته من مرابضها. And I'm seeking, in other words, I'm doing tawassul, doing seeking wasila and means towards Allah through Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam, Hassan ibn Ali alayhi salam, who was thrown to the wild animals, and you protected him, set him free from their place. وَمَنْ تُحِنَ بِالْدَوَابِ بِالسِّعَابِ فَزَلَّلْتَ لَهُ مَرَكِبِهَا. That's the dua we read at the 11th hour of the day. This dua belongs to Imam Askari alayhi salam. So Imam alayhi salam, the time is almost running out. I would shorten the speech and can get close to the end and drop so many other things that I had thought to mention. But here we find, before I come to the end, Imam Askari alayhi salam had said to Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari. Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari is one of the ashab of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. And he says that Imam said to me that among the sins which is not forgiven is the statement of a person that I wish I was not held accountable except for this sin. So there are people, in other words, who take some of their sins seriously and some other sins of theirs not seriously. They take some of the sins lightly. They take certain sins seriously and certain other sins lightly. So if they were not, this is not part of the hadith, I'm explaining to you. If they were not taking those sins lightly, they would never end up repeating it. Isn't that right? Some people keep on repeating the sins, al-israr wa al-dhanb, because they are taking the sin lightly. So Prophet has said in his hadith that Iblis got razi and pleased from you about the muhaqqarat. Muhaqqarat are those of the sins which a person considers to be less and lowly. This is not a big deal. So what if I did it? There are a whole bunch of people who are doing that. So what if I did it also? That's how the shaitan deceives us, and we keep on doing the same different types of harams. And the harams getting piled up, one over the other, zulumat and darknesses in the soul, piling up. So Imam Askari said to Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari that among the sins which is not forgiven is the statement of a person saying, I wish I was not held accountable except for this. So he is ignoring some other sins and considering some sin to be important and ignoring the rest. Any sin that you consider to be lowly and less important, that's not going to be forgiven. It's not about the sin, it's about the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whom actually the person is ignoring, because his ruling and commandment is being ignored. The legislator of the law. It's not about the law itself, whether being a smaller sin or bigger sin. It's about the legislator of law who's always great. That's the real perspective that we need to have. And Abu Hashim said, when I heard that statement from the Imam, I said to myself in my heart, well, the same happened to me. I ignored some of my sins and I used to consider some of my sins to be less important. And I think I should hold myself accountable. When I said that in my mind, Imam said, you said the truth. So Imam is reading the mind. Every Imam knows the mind. He has absolute knowledge of God. Whatever you are thinking in your mind, he knows. Imam said, you said the truth. So Imam is knowing what he is thinking in his mind. And he said, shirk, in other words, is among the people, is basically just like, you know, is more hidden, just like an ant is moving over a stone in the night. So how can you see an ant who is also black walking over a stone in the middle of the night? Can you see the ant in the middle of the night which is also black? Of course not. Imam Askari Islam said to him that shirk is more hidden than the ant walking over a stone in the middle of the night. So we need to be careful about a shirkul khafi and a shirkul jali. The open shirk openly associating partner with Allah, and hidden shirk, which is the lesser amount of shirks that people are doing. If this doctor was not there, I would have been dead already. Oh, so you are ignoring Allah who provided you shifa, and you are relating your shifa to a human only by ignoring the Creator who provides the shifa actually? This is called a shirkul khafi in Islam. There's so many people who are involved in a shirkul khafi, the hidden shirk. So, and then, as I always do on these occasions when we talk about the Imams, talking about at least one hadith of the Imam himself. I remember the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech, where Imam al-Askari alayhi salam says that لَا يَشْغَلُكَ رِزْقٌ مَضْمُونٌ عَنْ عَمَلٍ مَفْرُوضٌ. That means the guaranteed sustenance. And the speech is coming to the end. The guaranteed sustenance should not engage you from your fariza and duty. See, it's such a beautiful statement of our 11th Imam. That's exactly what is happening to some people. Because they are ignoring their fara'is and divine duties so that they can keep their jobs. Isn't it right? We want to protect our money and wealth as if the money is coming from the humans. But money is coming from Allah. He is the Razik. Allah commanded Prophet Musa a.s. to go to the river Nile. And Prophet Musa went there. Allah commanded him to strike his stick, asa, on the water. And he did. And a stone surfaced up from inside the river, up on the surface of the river. Stone came up. Allah commanded Prophet Musa to strike his asa and stick once again on the stone. And he did the same. Prophet Musa strike his asa on the stone. And the stone ripped open. There was another stone inside that stone. And he struck the asa once again. And from the second stone, there came out a blind insect. A blind insect with a leaf in his mouth, chewing on that leaf. And the zikr, the phrase of remembrance, which was repeated by that blind insect inside the two stones, was that, O my Lord, who did not forget me, the blind insect inside the two stones, how would you forget the risk and sustenance of the humankind? That was the zikr which was constantly repeated by that insect. Now you value the statement of our 11th Imam, where he says, لا يشغلك رزق مضمون. See, the risk is warranted by Allah if we have tawakkul and iman billah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's guaranteed. He's the razik, not the people. Don't allow your guaranteed risk to be, you get engaged away from your fariza and divine duties for the sake of your risk which is guaranteed already. But some people don't have the iman and don't have the tawakkul on Allah. They may claim whatever they wish to claim, but as a matter of actions speak louder, isn't that right? So, actions speak louder. They used to claim that we are Muslims.
Came to slaughter Imam Hussain alayhi salam, isn't that right?
They also claim to be Muslims. They were also praying and fasting. Isn't that right? People were praying in Karbala. Came to kill the son of Imam Hussain. Who cares about their claims? Are we here to care about the claims of the people? So, Imam Hussain alayhi salam introduced himself. Delivered sermons, one after the other.
In Islam, we don't shed the blood. Islam is a religion of justice and peace.
So, Imam Hussain advised the people before the start of the war, just like his father used to do. Just like the Holy Prophet used to. It was his sunnah about the advice. And after advising the Ashqiya, Imam Hussain alayhi salam said, I'm advising you people, but I know my advices are not going to work. The reason why it's not going to work is mentioned by himself in his speech. He said, قَدْ مُلِئَتْ بُطُونُكُمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ.
your tummies are full of haram. So we understand that even of such a purified person for whom Ayatul Tathir was revealed, is the Markaz of Taharat, even a great person like Imam Hussein comes and advises, if a person's stomach is full of haram, it's not going to work. There's nothing wrong with Imam Hussein. There's nothing wrong with the advices. There's nothing wrong in the way he's advising either. Your presentation has to be, the wrapper has to be, you know, more attractive than the contents. Isn't that right? There's nothing wrong with his presentation either, the way he was advising. He's masoom. The problem was with the reception of the recipient. The recipient's soul is already in zulmat and darkness, piled up one on top of the other because of the haram he has consumed. None of the prayers are accepted after eating the luqmatul haram. Like it or not, the teachings of Allah are not left up to the mercy of people liking it or not liking it. Allah's teachings are the way they are marked on the stone, unchangeable. You want to be successful? Adjust yourself according to divine laws and you will be successful. You don't want not serious? Fine, do what you wish to do in the name of freedom. Divine teachings are not going to bend for the ignorances of the people or their arrogances. So we find Imam al-Islam advised the people. But it did not work. It did not work on the ashqiya because their stomachs were full of harams. And now Imam Hussein al-Islam is finally left alone. Left alone in the plain of Karbala. And we find that Imam Hussein al-Islam, when he was charging over the army, he said, see the battle of the thirsty. See the battle of the hungry. The person, you know, Imam Hussein al-Islam had already lost his whole family, his children, his family members, isn't it right? So, a person who has been thirsty and hungry, and in so many of the injuries that he has already received on his body and is bleeding, and he has lost so many of his family members already. Now look at the courage of Imam Hussein al-Islam. And Sayyidat al-Ta'us rahmatullah says, finally, for waqafa li yastariha sa'atan. Imam Hussein stopped so that he can relax for a while. لِيَسْتَرِيحَ سَاعَةً وَقَدْ ضَعُفَ عَنِ الْقِتَالِ. And he was weak from the fighting. Then all the forces returned back. And they surrounded Imam Hussein alayhi salam from all the sides.
Somebody who has a sword started to
attack on Imam Hussein with a sword.
Somebody who had a spear, who started to attack
Imam Hussein with a spear.
Somebody who had nothing of the sword or the spear, but he had an arrow. He started to throw an arrow on Imam Hussein. Somebody who had none of those three started to throw a stone on Imam Hussein. فَأَصَابَهُ حَجَرٌ عَلَى جَبْهَتِهِ. Sayyidina Ta'us says, a stone struck on his forehead. فَخَرَجَ الدَّمْ. The blood came out of his forehead. فَأَخَذَ ثَوْبَهُ لَيَمْسَحَ الدَّمْ عَنْ جَبْهَتِهِ. He grabbed his cloth to wipe the blood from his forehead. إِذْ أَصَابَهُ سَحْمٌ مَسْمُومٌ ذُو ثَلَاثِ شُعَبٍ. That was the time when a poisoned three-pointed arrow was thrown and then targeted at the qalb and heart of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. فَأَخْرَجَ السَّهْمْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظَهْرِهِ. When this three-pointed poison arrow was thrown at the heart of Imam Hussein, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, look at the courage of Imam Hussein. فَأَخْرَجَ السَّهْمْ. He took out the arrow from behind his back. فَخَرَجَ الدَّمْ كَأَنَّهُ مِيزَابٌ. Blood came out as if it was a spout of water gushing out. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, that addressed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are killing the person, that the son, there is no one, no son of the Prophet other than him on the face of earth. That means he's the only son of the Prophet being killed. And after a while, Imam Hussein understood that Imam Hussein cannot sustain over the back any longer. So he kneeled down to comfort Imam Hussein. Fall on the ground of Karbala. And that's how Imam Hussein fell over the ground. But actually, he did not fall over the ground in the real sense. Because his body is now raised over the arrows. He's not over the ground yet. His body is raised over the arrows. And we find death. Several times Imam Hussein fell over his face because he was raising his head to make sure the enemies do not attack his Ahlul Haram, his family members and the ladies. This was not tolerable for Imam Hussein to find the enemies attacking the Ahlul Haram. So Imam Hussein raising his head several times and falling back over his face. And finally the time came when Hazrat Zainab was standing at the Tilla-i Zainabiyah. You know, even though, see, we find that Imam Hussein is there and Shimr is sitting, Shimr is sitting over the chest of the Imam, holding the beard from his one hand and slaughtering Imam Hussein from the other hand. We find Imam Askari alayhi salam was poisoned by Mu'tamid Billah according to some of the narrations, but we find at least there was a bunch of Mu'mineen who were participating in his janaza. There were some of the Shias who were participating, but here in Karbala we find Imam Hussein is left alone and his janaza is left there for 3 days. Nobody is there to provide kafan to Imam Hussein and to bury Imam Hussein. And Shimr was sitting at the chest of Imam Hussein and slaughtering him. Hazrat Zainab was present at the Tilla-i Zainabiyah. She did not stay silent over the zulm of the Tahud. Instead, even in the last moments, she is protesting over the zulm of Tahud and addressing Umar ibn Sa'd, "Yuqtalu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilayh." In other words, Imam Hussein is being killed and you are watching him. Allah rahmatullah.
Allah rahmatullah al-qawm al-zalimin wa sayya'lamu alladhina zalamu ayyan qalbin yanqalibun inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ilahi bihaqq al-sahra wa abiha وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. يا الله 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 يا الله. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه في جاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين.